Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be with us this morning. Open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that's written in the gospel, and help us to be able to understand it and put what we learn into practice, so that we be truly blessed by you all the days of our life. And I pray that you help the speaker and help the audience and help us to understand your will and to do your will too. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. The title of my sermon is, To Whom Should We Preach the Gospel? If you don't read the scripture, we thought the gospel only preached to the non-believer, but that's not true. Take a look at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Have they believed in Jesus already? They have already believed in Jesus, right? But why Paul has to write a letter, and why Paul has to go to Rome to preach the gospel one more time? Because I want you to write that down. Three things. Number one, to build up the faith. Number two, to build up their love in Christ. Faith and love in Christ. Jesus. Secondly, make sure that they all have the Holy Spirit. And where do I get that? Will you please turn to Timothy? 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Verse 14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, and guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. The reason why Paul writes the book of Romans is to make sure that the audience not only have faith in Jesus Christ, Paul wants them to build up their faith so that when the storm comes, when persecution comes, they won't fall. And secondly, make sure that they build up their love in Jesus Christ. When they see Jesus Christ, they won't see Jesus Christ with empty-handed. Those people who do not love Jesus, they will not bear fruit. Only the one who loves Jesus will bear fruit. How do we know that? From the parable of the kingdom of heaven, we see that. Those people who refuse to enter into the vineyard, refuse to serve our Lord Jesus, they won't bear fruit. So make sure that we build up our faith in Jesus Christ, we build up our love, trust Jesus Christ, at the same time, make sure that all believers has the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why Paul preached the gospel. When Paul preached the gospel, he not only preached the gospel to the non-believer, he preached the gospel also to the believer. I would like you to go to verse 14. Paul said that, I am obligated both to Greek and non-Greek, both to the wise and the foolish. The wise is the one who has already believed in Jesus Christ. The foolish one, not yet believe in Jesus. The wise also stand for those who are bearing fruit already for Jesus. The foolish is the one not yet bearing fruit for Jesus. The wise is also the one, just like the wise virgin, they are prepared for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas the foolish one is not prepared. The reason why Paul writes this letter is to make sure that all are ready for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 15, and Paul say that, that is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. And I want you to write that down. Right beside verse 15, you go to chapter 15 of the book of Rome. 15:14. I myself am convinced, my brother, that you yourself are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competence to instruct one another. In other words, the audience are not all of them. All of the audience are not ignorant of the gospel. They know the gospel. They have complete knowledge in the gospel. They have full of goodness in their own life, and they are able to instruct one another. So the gospel is not only preached to the foolish one. The gospel also preached to the wise. They are bearing fruit already. But I want to make sure. I don't know whether you remember what Jesus said in the 15th chapter of Gospel of John. You are the branches. You remember that? If the branches doesn't bear fruit, what happened? He's going to cut it off. If you bear fruit, he's going to prune it. He's going to make sure you bear more fruit, right? That's the reason why he write the book of Romans. Okay? To make sure that we are ready to bear fruit and bear more fruit so that we are truly the disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back in verse 9. He says, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his son. I want you to circle the word, the gospel of his son. There's a little bit of difference in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. In verse 1, Paul called this gospel is a gospel of God. And then later on in verse 9, he called this gospel is a gospel of his son. What's the difference between the gospel of God and the gospel of his son? They mean the same thing. But just that, when we preach the gospel, you have to talk about God. That's why it's the gospel of God. When you preach the gospel, you have to talk about his son. And then you truly know the gospel. And later on, Paul write that, he say, this gospel is the gospel of your salvation. Gospel of your salvation. In other words, even as far as the Jewish people is concerned, they say, I believe in God. No problem with that. But as far as the Christian is concerned, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. But then, Paul say that the gospel I'm preaching to you is the gospel of God, is the gospel of his son, and the gospel of your salvation. You not only have to know God, you also have to know his son. Why? Because no one knows the Father except his son and those to whom Jesus chose to reveal. No one knows the son except the Father, as it is recorded in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. I want you to write that down. That's why, right in here, is the gospel of God and gospel of his son, and then the gospel of your salvation. You know that, then you truly know what you believe. Otherwise, if you come across the Jewish people say, I only believe in God, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. And you come across with the Christian, they say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't know much about God. Right? But when you study the book of Rome, then you know God, you also know his son. What is his command? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, God's command to all of us is to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and according to his command, to love one another.
So we not only have to believe in God, we also have to believe in His Son. Would you please do me a favor? Turn to Gospel of John, chapter 17. Let's hear what Jesus said regarding eternal life, regarding your salvation. 17, verse 2. For you granted Him authority over all people, that He may give eternal life to all those you have given Him. Verse 3, now this is eternal life. What is eternal life? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You just know God without knowing Jesus? Unfortunately, you do not know God. Because no one knows the Father except who? Except the Son. No one knows the Son except the Father. You have to know both. You understand? Do I make myself clear? So that's why the gospel is a gospel of God. The gospel is also the gospel of His Son. You know both God and His Son, then this gospel becomes the gospel of your salvation. Okay, keep going. Rome, chapter 1. I go back to verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. I want to make a little bit of changes in here, see whether you see a difference. Listen to what I'm saying, okay? First, I thank my God for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. What did I leave out? Through Jesus Christ. None of us can thank God without through Jesus Christ. We only thank God because we know Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we thank God. I want you right beside through Jesus Christ. You write down Colossians, that is Rome, 1:8 equal to Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and giving thanks to God the Father through who? Through Jesus Christ. The reason why we can thank God, because Jesus Christ is in your heart. He revealed who God is to you and what God has done for you. What has He given it to you? All the blessing. Then you say, I thank God for that through Jesus Christ. You understand? A lot of the time, you know, I see people writing, say, I thank God for all of you left out the word through Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, I want you to remember three phrases. Gospel of God, gospel of His Son, and gospel of your salvation. The more you know about Jesus Christ, the more you know about who God is. No one knows the Father except Jesus. No one knows Jesus except God, the Father. Okay, keep going. Verse 9. God is the one who is my witness, how constantly I remember you in my prayer at all times. How did he describe his relationship with God? God is the one I serve with my whole heart. How did he serve with his whole heart? In preaching the gospel of his son. A lot of people say, I do this, I do that, and later on, and Jesus say to you, I don't know you. Remember in verse 1, what did the Bible say? Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Paul know that. God called him to be an apostle. He didn't want him to do everything. He only want him to what? Set apart for the gospel of God. You got to know the God's will in your own life. What did he want you to do? You got to make sure that. You know, I don't know when your employer hire you, he give you a job description. That is your job. You make sure that you do it. You can do all kind of things without doing your job description. You end up getting laid off, okay? You understand what I'm trying to say? And not only that, he said, I serve God in preaching the gospel with a whole heart, not 50%, 100% serving God in only preaching the gospel. I read that one more time in verse 9. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his son. God is my witness how constantly I remember you. Two things that you serve God, Paul wants you to know. And I want you to know also. You write that down. Number one thing. Make sure that if you want to serve God, you serve God through prayer. Number two, serve God through preaching. You write that down? According to New Testament teaching, Acts chapter 6, verse 4. According to Old Testament teaching, Acts chapter 12, verse 23. Go to New Testament first. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. The apostle make this proclamation, make this statement. We will give our attention to prayer and give our attention to the ministry of the word. Spend time in praying. Spend time in preaching the word of the Lord. That's the New Testament teaching. You know what? The reason why the apostles make this kind of proclamation, because in the church, now as the church keep growing, when the church keep growing, and the apostles have more responsibility, and the congregation expect the apostles to do more, but the 12 apostles stand up saying that. If you want us to serve you regarding food, you have to do it yourself. You choose 7 people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and call them deacon and let them serve. But as for us, we have to devote ourselves in 2 things. The ministry of the word of the Lord and prayer. In the future, let's say if I pass away and if no one coming up to preach, so very likely you're going to have another pastor come to this church. Make sure that his job description is what? In prayer and preaching. You don't ask him to say, oh, this sister moved from this place to the other place, could you help out to move, okay? You don't do that. You understand? Oh, this senior need to go to see a physician, you know, I want the pastor to join him. You know what? He can do that, you know, if you ask him to do. Then when he go and preach the gospel, he get nothing to preach to you. Don't destroy his ministry, nor destroy your own ministry. Don't allow him to sin against the Lord. According to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. And when the Israelites sinned against God, and they asked Samuel, the prophet, to pray for them. And Samuel saying that, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Brother and sister,
You are called to be the saint. Your responsibility also to pray for the congregation. Don't tell me that you don't need to pray. Go back to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. What did the Lord require of you to do? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's hear what Paul saying to the saint in the church of Ephesus. Chapter 6. Paul asked them to put on the full armor of God. And then in verse 18, all the way to 20, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This instruction, chapter 6, verse 18, was given to chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Brother and sister, if you count yourself to be the saint, if you count yourself to be the faithful in Christ Jesus, make sure you pray for all the saints. If you don't do that, you sin against God. Verse 19, not only keep on praying for all the saints. Verse 19, pray also for the pastor, for me, that whenever I open my mouth, word may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. By the way, did I tell you where the gospel of your salvation? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. 1:13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. Go back to chapter 6, verse 19. Pray also for the pastor, for those who minister to you. The pastor has to pray for you. You also have to pray for your pastor. Whenever your pastor opens his mouth, word may be given to him so that he will be fearlessly making known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chain. Pray that I may declare the gospel of God, the gospel of his son, the gospel of your salvation, and the gospel of God's mystery, fearlessly, as I should. Without him writing the letter, we don't know that. Before he go to Rome, he keep on praying for what? For a few years already. Before he even know the brother and sister over there, he say, Lord, open the way for me, because I know your gospel, I fully understand what you're trying to say, I want to make sure all your people understand the word of the truth. That is the gospel of your own salvation, right? But Satan stopped him from going there, because God knows that it's not the right time. But by the time when he write the book of Rome, it's about time for him to go to Rome. Okay? Keep going. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayer at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way to go to Rome may be open for me, so that I can come to you. In verse 11, all the way to verse 13, telling us why he has to go to Rome. Writing a letter is not good enough? No, it's not good enough. He has to go there personally. Verse 11, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. In other words, a lot of Christians are not strong Christians because they don't have spiritual gifts, or they don't even know their own spiritual gifts. I want you to write that down. How can Paul impart spiritual gifts to the brother and sister? How can Paul impart spiritual gifts to the brother and sister? First of all, take a look at how he imparts spiritual gifts to another pastor, like Timothy. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy is the pastor of the church of Ephesus. I'm sorry, it's not the 1 Timothy, it's 2 Timothy. Excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5 to verse 7. I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Your is Timothy's sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother and then in your mother, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Verse 6. For this reason, I know that you have a sincere faith, Timothy. I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God. Right beside the gifts of God, you write down spiritual gifts, because God is spirit. Gifts of God mean spiritual gifts. I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gifts of God, the spiritual gifts, which is in you through the laying on of my hand. In other words, at one point in time, Paul lay his hand on the head of Timothy to impart him the gifts of God. That's the spiritual gifts. Verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Paul said that I have to come to see you guys because I want to impart spiritual gift to you. I want to lay hand on your head so that God will give you not the spirit of timidity, but spirit of what? Power, spirit of love, spirit of self-discipline. Okay? Second, take a look at how Paul lay hand on the congregation of the church of Ephesus. Go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John baptism, they replied. Paul said, John baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. When Paul placed his hand, that means lay his hand on them. the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all.
I want to come to you. Just like in those days when he met Timothy, he realized that Timothy is a man of timidity. He laid hand on him and gave him the spirit of power. Give him the spirit of self-control, self-discipline, and spirit of love. When you love God, you'll be strong. The reason why you're weak, because you don't serve God. Okay?
There are two kind of spiritual gifts. I want you to write that down. One kind is you don't have to ask for it, and God will give it to you as long as you believe in Jesus Christ. As long as you know who God the Father is, you will receive the spiritual gifts. Second kind of spiritual gift called the gift of prophecy. You have to seek for it. You have to know it's good, then you seek for it. Will you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Take a look at 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. The message of wisdom is the message after you heard, you fear God. That's the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge. When you hear the message, you love God. That's the message of knowledge. That's given by the Holy Spirit. To another, I read that verse 8 again. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And then verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. You want to strengthen your faith, you need the help of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will give you that faith. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another, miraculous power, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirit. And some people are given this spirit to be able to distinguish whether this is a Holy Spirit or this is an evil spirit. You don't believe in all spirit. Make sure that you can distinguish which is which. To still another, the interpretation of tongue, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives them to each one just as the Holy Spirit determined. You don't have to ask for it. This one, everyone will receive the spiritual gift. The moment you believe in Jesus. But you have to discover, although God given it to you, if you don't exercise your gift, if you don't serve in the church, even though He given it to you, you don't even know it. By the time you start serving, then you know that's the gift He gave it to you. I show you how. You say that you have this kind of gift. You exercise the gift and every people get turned off. I'm sorry, that is not your gift. And you say that you have this kind of gift, and you grouching, you complaining all the time. Sorry, you don't have that gift. When you use that gift, you feel happy about that, you exercise it, and people get the benefit. That's why in chapter 12, verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of Spirit is given for the common good. In other words, the moment you exercise your spiritual gift, all other people get benefit. That's the spiritual gift God gave it to you. Another kind of spiritual gift, you have to search for it. You have to ask for it. Because you see that other people has it, and they grow in Christ, you don't grow in Christ, you want more. You can ask for it. That is in 14, chapter 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That's cool. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gifts of prophecy. You don't need to be a pastor to have the gifts of prophecy. You have to ask for it. You have to exercise it. You have to use it. Okay? Then you have the gift of prophecy. Okay? Now go back. Rome, chapter 1, verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. Brother and sister, do you want to be strong in faith? Do you want to be strong in Jesus Christ? So you have to looking forward to the coming of the pastor that who can impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. What's strong? That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other faith. Once you get the spiritual gift, you exercise the spiritual gift, and then the pastor see that you grow, and you yourself see that you grow in Christ, you are happy, and the pastor is happy, you are encouraged, the pastor is encouraged. Brother and sister, listen to me very carefully. Don't be a fat cat in the church. You understand? Don't be a fat cat. You'll be weak. You destroy your own life. Okay? Right beside strong, I want to circle the word strong. You write down Deuteronomy chapter 16:16. The one who are weak because they come to see Jesus with an empty hand. Deuteronomy 16:16-17. Three times a year, all your men, the head of the household, must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose. At the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacle, three times a year, no man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Empty-handed is the one who did not bear fruit. Verse 17, each of you must bring a gift. I want you to circle the word a gift. You know what did the Bible say? 1:11, I long to see you so as to impart you spiritual gift. You have to receive spiritual gift before you give God gifts. You understand? You have to receive gifts from God first and then use whatever God given it to you, give it back to him. He never asks you to say, oh, you give me first and then I give you later. No, he give you first. I want you to write that down, okay? But if he give you first, you don't respond in the right manner, he say, I repent, I relent, I take it back, I give it to someone else. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. No one can see God with an empty hand. Does that make sense? Say, Pastor John, this is the Old Testament teaching. I'm a New Testament Christian. Okay, alright. Right beside that, you write down 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. I say 2 Peter, not 2 Timothy, Moses, okay? And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How can we receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Right beside verse 11, You write down 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 all the way to verse 10. I read that to you. The reason why some of the people, they don't bear fruit, because they don't grow spiritually. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess this eighth quality in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have this eighth quality, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. He is able to do it, but he refused to do it because he has forgotten that. He's not under bondage anymore. The Lord has already set you free. You'll be able to bear fruit. The reason why you don't bear fruit is not because you are incapable. You refuse to do it. He has already given you spiritual gifts, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The moment you believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, He has already given you spiritual gifts. Brother and sister, don't just base upon 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaching, also based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 14 teaching. You have to eager to seek for more gifts. You know, in your company, you want to get promotion, but in the spiritual kingdom, you are so ignorant. Don't do that, man. Don't do that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay? Ask for more. You know what? You know how God teaches you a lesson? You refuse to grow, He will give you a lousy supervisor. You ask for weight, He refuses to listen to you. Until you're so upset, you say, God, how come you don't hear my prayer? God say, I heard your prayer. I don't want to give it to you. I want to know how you feel, because that's the way you treat me. I have given you spiritual gift through the pastor, and you refuse to use it. You understand what I'm trying to say? Does it make sense? Keep going. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift by laying on of hand of your head to make you strong, so that you be faithful in serving God. That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brother, that I planned many times to come to you, but has been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I may have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. Right beside verse 13, you write down 2 Peter 1:11, Deuteronomy 16:16-17. Make sure that Paul is the one who understands the Old Testament teaching. Deuteronomy 16:16. No one dare to appear before God with the empty handed. He wants to make sure the congregation that he served through the ministry of his word, make sure that all people are to bear fruit. Does that make sense? He's a good pastor. You know what? When you see Jesus, you can say, well, my pastor never told me so. Then you'll be spared. But in this church, you're not spared from that. Right? Hey, I say it one more time. If you have never been going on Wednesday to a prayer meeting, I want you to remember a second. I want you to remember 1 Timothy chapter 12, verse 23. Samuel said, as for me, far be it from me if I don't pray for you. If I don't pray for you, I will sin against God. Brother and sister, don't you know that you don't come to the prayer meeting
forgetting all other things to prayer, you sin against God. Don't you know that you sin against God? You understand what I'm trying to say? Hey, if you do think that pleases God, you know what? In your career, in your health, in your family, the Lord will bless you. Even though you don't pray for yourself, you pray for others. Because you did it, the Lord will bless you. You understand? You don't pray, you not only sin against God, you harm yourself. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians, they don't even read the Bible. Or they read the Bible, they don't understand what the Bible is trying to say to them. So I seek God's will. I don't even understand God's will. I tell you, the will of God for you is what? First of all, pray at all times, in all occasions, for all people. On top of that, including your pastor. In the Mandarin congregation, the brother told me Friday ago, he said, Pastor John, thank you for praying for me. I got a job. I start working on Monday. I call him every day and pray for him. And he got it. He knows God answered prayer. In the Cantonese congregation, there's one sister get problem with the eye. I say, you want me to pray for you every day? Say, yeah, I pray. And then you go to see a specialist. The specialist say, there's no tear. There's no corn in the eye. I don't know what it is. Anyway, it's not because of any fracture or whatever. You're okay. And she's happy. Brother and sister, as for me, far be it for me that I don't pray for you. You pray, man. Read the scripture so that you know God's will in your own life. Okay? Moses, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you know that I pray for your career? Oh, man. Oh, man. You know what I mean? Hannah, do you know that I pray for you? You may not know. Oh, man. Yuan Yuan, do you know that I pray for you? You don't know? On Wednesday, you come to the church, you're coughing. Now I didn't see that you're coughing anymore. Let me see your tongue. You look good. This little sister come to on Wednesday. Can you see that? I can impart the spiritual gift to her by praying for her. Some people go to the church and the pastor don't even know your name. If the pastor don't even know your name, how can he call your name by praying for you? Make sure that your pastor know you. You understand? Some people, they left the church before the benediction. They come late, they leave earlier. The pastor don't even know he exists in this church. Keep going. Paul, wherever he goes, he expects to bear fruit because he's a mature Christian. He's a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's like a tree planted by the stream of water. In season and out of season, he bears fruit. Wherever he go, he might have harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. That's why I'm obligated both to Greek and to non-Greek. Greek is the one who are, Greek is the official language in Rome. In Rome, their own native language is Latin. But in the official language, like you write a contract and all this in Greek. Same as the official language in Canada is French and English, not Chinese, okay? And I'm obligated both to the educated, that's the Greek-speaking people, and non-Greek is the uneducated. Why I say uneducated? Because if you don't know Greek, your job won't have a good pay, okay? It's a lousy pay. I'm obligated both to the wise and also to the foolish.
That's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you in Rome. To you in Rome is the one who are loved by God in verse 7 and called to be saint. In verse 6, they were called to belong to Jesus Christ. In verse 5, they were called to the obedience that come from faith. Verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. What's the reason why Paul saying that I'm not ashamed of the gospel? Because the gospel is the power of God. What does it mean by being ashamed of the gospel? Because all the Jews, they believe in God, they don't believe in Jesus Christ. And most of the newborn Christian, Protestant Christian, they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't know about God. And Paul saying that you have to know God and you have to know Jesus Christ. And to, as far as they are concerned, this is a new stuff. And people thought that you are sick, you are cut, you are not preaching the genuine gospel. But actually, Paul is preaching a genuine gospel. A gospel of God, gospel of His Son, that is the gospel of your salvation. Think that you don't know, you think that he's preaching something else? No, he's preaching genuine the word of the Lord. So he's not ashamed of that. He gets persecution because doing so. Okay? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. Actually, I don't want to rush to it. I want to stop here because 16, 17, it's very, very important in our understanding of the gospel of God and gospel of His Son and gospel of your salvation. Our Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for giving us opportunity to understand your word and help us to understand deeply so that we grow not only in faith, also in love in our Lord Jesus Christ. And also help us to receive the spiritual gift that you have in store for each and every one of us. Help us to eager to ask for more. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.